All right, welcome back to another episode. In this episode, you guys are going to be hearing from a good friend of mine. His name is Joey Hoey. He is the owner of the Fitness Coalition in Benicia, California. And yes, his last name is Hoey, so great name. Love the guy. I've known him for a couple of years now. We stay in touch ever since I moved to, and you know, he's a great guy. You know, I really chatted up with him quite a bit, and I thought it would be a really good idea to put him on the show and let you guys hear about his methodology when it comes to training and even some little recovery tips. So we kind of get into some ideas about supplementation and supplements that we both enjoy, or X-Endurance. So I put that in the show notes for you guys to take a look at what their products look like. And also I put some of his information in there so you guys can check out the way that he trains. And trust me, you want to follow this guy on Instagram because he has the best PRs ever. No joke. Search his page and watch him PR lift. You'll be very, very happy. So without further ado, here's my man, Joey Hoey. with all the snatch position work, my bottom position has really opened up. Like, I feel like I'm actually starting to pull properly from the ground.
That's so funny that you say that.
6 years later.
I've been focusing on that so much more lately. Like I just told you, hey, I'm doing this box squat clinic, right? So I need to be a master at box squatting now.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I can't put on a clinic and be like, well, I mean, this is kind of sort of how you box squat. Like, I'm going to be the box squat fucking king, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just reading some of the West Side literature. And you know how sometimes you can read something a million times, but then you read it for the 1,000,000th and one time, and you're like, oh my God, I fucking understand it now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
So I was going through the material, and maybe just my mindset's different on some things, but I've been really focusing lately on creating massive amounts of tension before I lift. And what I mean by that, and you probably understand, is like what we've been preaching is all the tension starts in the hand, or it starts in the foot, really, depending on what it is that you're trying to do, right? If I'm squatting or deadlifting, your tension should start in your feet. You're fucking grabbing a barbell or whatever, all the tension starts in the hand. So I've been super big on, like, I need you guys to feel the connection. If you don't feel all your muscles working, you're being inefficient in your movement. Mm-hmm. You need to create, think of your body as one muscle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to do a deadlift, it's not just in your legs. Like, you should feel the deadlift from your feet to your eyelids. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of how we've been looking at things. And then since doing this now, I've been a lot more aware of my body, doing jiu-jitsu and all that stuff too, and like more yoga and things of that nature. So like getting into it now, I was like, oh my God, like I'm feeling what they're fucking talking about. I'm under, like, you know, I can move and I can feel it so much more differently. But I'm like, my positioning fucking used to suck so bad. Cause now that I'm trying to do it like correctly, quote unquote, wow, it feels like a fucking night and day. But then the way that it feels, I'm like, okay, I understand, because now I'm actually feeling it in my hips as opposed to how I was before, you know, like, and it's been so crazy trying to focus on these positions. And then like what you said, I feel like I'm pulling so good from the floor. I'm like, fuck, I feel like I'm pulling better from the floor. And I never thought I even had a problem pulling from the floor before.
Yeah, same here. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I felt like I always had a little bit of an issue pulling from the floor. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if you're moving the weight, you just feel fine about it. And you know there's little bits and pieces that can always improve. But, yeah, you know, when you talked about, like, gripping the barbell, and that's one thing I've been, like, hyper, hyper focused on, is every time I grab the barbell now, it is the exact same routine each fucking time. Like, my hook grip cinches in on my right hand first. My left hook grip cinches in really hard. From there, I tension the bar, and I'm setting my pelvis and everything else along with that virtually all at the same time. And once I feel that ground pressure, like where I'm really digging my heels down into the ground, that's where I make the lift happen.
Pow!
Kapow.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's been a lot more fun.
It's been eye-opening,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I never thought I really had an issue, but then loosening up my psoas more and being more aware of like locking in my low back or my spinal erectors, now deadlifting or squatting, so from basically the top of my trap, like base of my skull, literally all the way down to the bottom of the spinal erector, like keeping that natural lumbar curve and having that locked in and then moving, but then keeping that locked in, that lumbar curve the whole entire time, it completely changes the way that the muscles are involved. You see, I don't have to say you see what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm saying, right? So now that I'm more hyper aware of that, like my low back involved with lifting, holy shit, it's ridiculous. Like the squats feel different, the box squats feel different, deadlifting feels completely different, accessory movements like GHRs, like going out and then making sure I fucking squeeze super hard before I come back and lock my spine in. I'm fucking flying up on these things with ways I never used to be able to. You know what? I'm like, okay, I know I'm not like all of a sudden that much stronger. There's no way. I think I'm just more aware of my position. And now that I'm aware of it, it's like I'm moving in a new body almost.
Yeah, it's almost like I look at that as like almost like a like muscle ups. You know, it's a skill thing. Muscle ups is people have the strength to perform a muscle up of some variation. It's just can you piece your body together to create that action?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it. That makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of strong dudes and strong chicks out there that just can't. They just don't have that awareness. You know,
it's the like coordination,
they have the retard strength, like the raw, but they can't do anything with it. You know what I'm saying? It's just strength. It's not like targeted strength or skill specific strength or anything.
Yeah,
it's dope though.
Yeah, well, Joey, why don't you give people a little intro about yourself, like let them know where you're at, everything, and you know, I'll give people a little background that, you know, I met you quite a few years back in California because of our good friend Spencer Murphy giving us the intro along with CrossFit ASAP teaching the mobility classes. He's got a little bit of wind out there in Benicia.
Yeah, sorry. Hold on. Let me go outside.
So Joey and I got connected through Spencer and I'm pretty sure it was Anthony or Tyler Wilcox got me in touch with you because you wanted to wanted me to come out and teach a mobility class to Fitness Coalition. So take it from there.
Yeah, I'm super horrible talking about myself. I'm out here in Bay Area, California. I currently live in Benicia, but the gym that my wife and I have owned and operated for going on 8 years now is the Fitness Coalition. We're out in Cordelia. Ask me questions.
Yeah, I'll ask you. How about this?
I'm so bad at talking about myself. If you could literally just ask me questions, I will answer.
Okay, here. This is a fun thing. I'm stealing this from my friend Dan Skinner. He hit me with an icebreaker the other day. That was pretty solid, but I'm gonna vary it a little. Are you more of a bubblegum chewer or a mint person?
I would for sure go bubblegum over mints 10 times out of 10.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Me too. I'm right there with you.
Favorite bubblegum.
My favorite, I'm a pretty classic, you know, Stride 5 Wintergreen or just normal, whatever the blue one is.
I go very nostalgic, right? For me, I would choose Juicy Fruit.
Gross.
Yep.
I
don't know why, bro. I think that just reminds me of my childhood. You know, it's just my mom always seemed to have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you go to your grandma's or something and there always is like that same candy in the dish.
Yep.
Or when you go to like the doctor's office and there's always that strawberry candy.
Yep.
But you have no idea where it comes from because you've never seen it in the store once to purchase.
That's
but
so
it's
true.
It's always in the doctor's offices or whatever, right? So like for me, it's like that Juicy Fruit. Like I don't think I've ever saw my mom buy it. It was just one of those she always had it kind of deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would go Juicy Fruit, man, just for the nostalgic feel.
Okay.
You know, just for the nostalgic feel.
That's good. That's good. And what was your AIM messenger name back in the day?
Oh man, what was it? What was it? Dude, I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
Those were good times. Chat AIM, just stay up all night before there were text messages.
Oh man, dude, AIM was my that was my teenage years, man. I got really good at typing because of AIM.
Yeah. Same here. Going in chat rooms and talking crap to random people. Picking fights.
Yeah, it was the best, dude. It was the best. I think I might be able to talk about myself now, Joe. Let me see. If we're gonna do a brief intro. I think I got it.
Okay, give it to me.
I started at a gym because I felt like there was a better way to train than what was out there. And it was one of those things that I felt like it was needed. And then when I met Lauren, met my wife, she was in literally to the same thing as me. We met doing CrossFit. Like, she was super supportive of all my weird ideas, and it just kind of seemed practical to do it together.
Yep.
So we opened that thing, and then, you know, from the beginning, it was one of the things that we felt like we really wanted to explore movement. And that's always been my thing, is like, I need to explore movement. I can't just do, you know, the typical CrossFit and be like, hey, I'm a CrossFitter, this is just what I do. Hey, I'm a power lifter, so all I do is powerlifting, this is all that I do. Hey, I'm an Olympic weightlifter, or hey, I'm a fill in the blank. Like, I'm one of those guys that always needs to try things. Mm-hmm. And just to get either the good or the bad out of it. If I try it and it works out and I feel like I can use it, then I use what I feel is useful, and then I toss what I feel is not useful. But for me, it could be the complete opposite for you. What you feel is super useful for you, I may be like, oh man, I think that's really dumb. I don't think I would ever use that. But it works for you. So that's, I feel, the beauty of what it is that we do, is that anyone can, what would I say? Anyone can have their views of it.
Yeah.
But as long as we're all doing the same thing, it kind of works itself out.
Yeah, it's almost like the idea of there's nothing that works for everybody, but doing nothing doesn't work at all.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it.
So, you know, the one thing that is kind of cool about Fitness Coalition that you're alluding to, you haven't really brought up, is I feel like you guys have a really unique community that you work with, and the way that you expose them to fitness with a lot of strongman movements, which is definitely not a very common thing to see in a niche gym. So why don't you touch on that? Why strongman was such a big important thing for you?
Yeah, so for the strongman thing, the biggest reason why we used it and continue to use it and implement it within our GPP programming is we believe it's the most functional form of fitness. And that word gets thrown around all the time.
Yep.
Functional fitness. It's like, well, what is functional fitness? Right? To me, functional fitness is something that will be useful in the real world. And when I mean real world, outside of the gym.
Yeah.
Because my view is what you do inside of the gym should always translate over to life outside of the gym.
Yeah. So whether that's sport or just life in general, like if you like to hike, then you should be training for that kind of specific activity to keep you safe.
Yeah. Yeah, you could even argue not even sport. You could just argue life in general, but then sport is just a piece of that, right? Yeah. Because if you're working at a gym or you're working with clients, you know, 99% of the time, I would argue that they're just general population people.
Yeah.
Right? They're not the, you know, top tier athlete or the striving Olympian or whatever it may be. They're just, you know, whoever came in off the street and they're like, I'm ready to work out because I want to feel better about myself. Right?
Yeah.
So for us, the strongman stuff, I mean, the basis of it is lifting awkward objects. That's it. But people's conception of strongman is, you know, we always make the joke is like, Magnus von Magnussen and big Vikings with like hands the size of, you know, dinner plates and like big long hair and, you know, just big long beards and super intimidating. But the truth of the matter is, you know, strongman literally just breaks down, and this is the way I look at it, to, you know, moving those awkward implements. That's literally all that it is. So for us, you know, we try to touch stones and we try to touch sandbags in our general classes just as much as we touch barbells. Mm-hmm. Because lifting those weird things is going to help you when you go to lift groceries, or you help your friend move and you got to move a couch, or you have to move a washer or dryer, or maybe you get a new refrigerator. You know, all of those things are not perfectly set. They're not perfectly loaded. It's not a barbell. It's not, you know, one, you know, 90 pounds on one side, 90 pounds on the other. It's going to be all over the place. So the biggest thing of why we did it was we felt that this is just going to help people in their real lives.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing. And if we're talking from a trainer's point of view, it is extremely low skill barrier of entry.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, hey, Joe, you want to come train strongman? Hey, do you think that you can pick this object up right here? Let's just say it's a sandbag. Can you pick that up and hug it to your chest and carry it from point A to point B?
You say yes. Yeah.
I think I can do that. Cool. Perfect. Awesome. Now I see that you can do it. Within 5 minutes of you coming to the gym, I could do a workout with you with relative intensity, right, for you, mm-hmm. and make it really work. I can't do the same with like a power clean or a power snatch or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, so here we go. I need you to grip that barbell. We're going to pull the shoulder blades back tight. We're going to get the lats set. I need you to get a hook grip. Now I need you to make sure that you're hinging at the hip. Okay. And it's like, these new people are going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey dude, pick this up, carry it. How'd that feel? Man, that was really hard. Perfect. Go do it a handful more times and then tell me how you feel. You know? So it's like too potent of a stimulus for training and too potent of a stimulus for coaching to ignore.
Yeah.
For us. Yeah, right?
For sure.
And that is, in a long roundabout way, that is why we do strongman.
I love it. I really enjoy that, because I remember walking into your gym and seeing all the kegs, the stones.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, all right, here we go. This is pretty awesome. When I pulled up, there were some people outside pulling, doing like sled drags with the rope, where they were doing hand over hand, pretty mm-hmm. aggressive yep. pulls, and like nice and heavy. And everybody was sweating, having a good time, pulling some decent weight. And then afterwards, they were all super eager to learn. And that's one thing that I appreciated about your gym, is that your community was, they were very eager to learn the techniques and know why they were doing something. And then they wanted to know how could they even get better at it? How can they make their bodies feel better while doing it? Hence, we bring in the mobility clinic to teach them a little bit as to how their bodies move and how they should perform. So it was, I feel like your gym really got a great response out of the classes that we taught over there.
Dude, they loved it. We loved it. So our members loved it. Us as the coaches, we loved it. It was definitely something good. And I'm glad that you're still continuing to do that stuff, because I feel a lot of people need that information and they may not really know where to get it.
Yeah.
Or in today's day and age, everybody is an expert on Instagram and everybody's selling programs for mobility and butt builders and butt building programs and all this stuff. And it's like, well, who's really credible these days? You know, and it sucks that you have to like say that, because there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good work mm-hmm. that sometimes make it overlooked or just can't be found. And, you know, I'm glad that you're out there, you know, doing your thing.
Fighting the good fight. Changing one post at a time. That's what I'm doing.
Right? It's like, I feel like it's just creating that culture too.
Yeah.
It's like you create that culture for education. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, some people may not even care like what muscle groups are involved with the squat, and then they come to your gym and they're like, "Oh, holy crap, like that's kind of interesting." And then you create that culture of wanting to learn and be receptive to that kind of stuff. And, you know, I feel people dig that.
Yep.
You know, then it gives more purpose, I feel, and more intent to what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, now definitely. You're not just telling me how to stretch my groin. Like, you're telling me, hey, if you keep doing this, you're going to really hurt yourself. And this is why. And now here's what you got to do to fix it. Like, I respect that. So I'm like, oh, okay. He's not just telling me to stretch my groin because it's tight. Like, he's telling me I need to do this because, and it gives me the whole reasoning why. That's what I like.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate that kind of feedback. Knowing your ins and outs as to whys. So Joey, you've recently gotten back into jiu-jitsu. What's the deal with that? Tell me a little more as to what brought you back into that world.
Oh man, I just love to be choked.
Perfect.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've been watching Mindhunter. And I don't know if you're familiar with Mindhunter, but we could have a long talk about that.
I just saw it on Netflix, though. I just saw the ad or the pop-up, so I'm going to have to check it out.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, like, I don't mind being choked, right? But I just grew up doing martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing Kajakimbo, Tony Ramos Kajakimbo, when I was 4.5 years old because I wanted to be a ninja. So my dad put me into martial arts.
Makes
and
sense.
We did it together growing up. It was just one of those things, like, every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday night, I'm at the dojo. We did tournaments. I mean, it was just a huge point in my life, right? Yeah. Did it from 4 till I was 16 years old. My dad ended up passing away, and that's when I stopped. It just wasn't the same anymore.
Yeah.
Then, you know, a couple of years went by. I tried to go back and you know, do it for my dad, but it just wasn't the same. And then I started doing the MMA thing because I wanted to see if what I learned all through those years of training could translate over to, you know, real life situations and stuff like that. And what's more real life than another person trying to fight you? And I remember watching UFC 1 with my dad, and I was like, I'm gonna do that someday. And he was like, yeah, you are. I was like, oh, cool. So that always resonated with me. So it was like one of those things, again, I was like, I'm going to do it for my dad. And, you know, I had a couple fights, you know, I was right at that point of, am I going to try to go pro or am I going to, you know, try to get a plan B?
Yeah.
So it was one of those that I felt the plan B was just a better option.
Okay.
And that's when we opened the gym. And then, you know, it's been like 8 years since I've trained, and I've thought about martial arts all the time, every day, but it got to the point where I was talking about it so much and I didn't even realize it, that my wife was like, look, you just need to go do it. Like, you talk about it so much, go do it. And I looked up some jiu-jitsu schools because I just really wanted to focus on that because it was always like intriguing to me, and I really sucked at it when I was at MMA. So it was something I felt like I could get better at, and I just kind of dove in head first. So signed up, and I've gone for the last 4 months now. I've gone 3 to 4 days a week, and, you know, I have my first tournament that I signed up for September 7th, so I'm excited for that. And,
nice.
You know, I'm just going to take the ride. It's extremely interesting for me, and I can't really imagine my life without it anymore. So yeah. It was exactly what I needed at the exact time. It definitely filled my cup. So
awesome. Yeah, you got to keep filling the cup a little bit, right? Passion projects are super important.
Yeah, I know, man. I know.
So dealing with the strain of, you know, the way that you train still, that with, yeah, because mm-hmm. I know that you do your own programming, that's for sure, and then you take in other people's programming as well and splice that into what you do. And then on top of it, you're doing the jiu-jitsu training. Why don't we touch a little bit on some supplementation and specifically for soreness? Because I think that soreness is something that's a little bit misunderstood. And I've mm-hmm. heard it pretty recently where people say, you know, hey, we're going to do some foam rolling so that we can squeeze out the lactic acid because that's the stuff that's going to make you feel sore. So let's dive into some ideas behind that and what your thoughts are on, you know, DOMS, some things that you do to kind of recover from that amount of strain and activity that you do. So let's chat about that.
Yeah, DOMS is real, man. I get sore just like anybody else, you know? Yep. So as far as like the recovery stuff goes, I'm pretty good at listening to my body and knowing what I need. So as far as kind of just recovery in general, I do a lot of connective tissue work. So for like the ligaments and tendons and just getting a lot of blood flow into areas that I've worked. So band, like I do a lot of band work, like banded face pulls, banded tricep extensions, and these are hundreds of reps at the end of the session, like 200 to 300 at a time. As you know, like the tendons, ligaments, those type of things don't get as much blood flow as the muscles. So you got to get really high reps to get that blood flow, and just to help build them, because they don't get as much work as, or they get work, but you know what I mean? They're,
A little more resiliency, right?
Exactly. Right. So I do hundreds and hundreds of banded reps at the end of my sessions, and I have strict recovery days. Wednesday is a really light recovery day. I do yoga and focus on, again, hundreds of reps of movements and muscle groups that I've done over the course of the week or going to work, so that I can just make sure that, you know, everything is moving tip top. And if it feels weird, then I know that I can work on some specific mobility and things of that nature in those areas, or get some body work done. So that's basically kind of how I work my recovery for movement. But for supplementating, the biggest difference for me, and the only thing I can go back on, is from when I was doing MMA till when I'm training now, because it's very similar in the sense of training the skill, which is the martial art, and then the strength and conditioning stuff that comes along with that as well, was the extreme endurance.
Yep.
And that, and honestly, like, you know, I love the company. I've been using their products for shit, like every day for about 7 years now. And now that I'm doing massive amount of work again, very comparable to what it was when I was doing the MMA stuff, the difference in my recovery is huge. And one of the biggest things for the extreme endurance is that it is, like you mentioned, it is going to help buffer the lactic acid that's produced during intense training sessions. It's not going to stop it, but it's going to keep it from coming on for a longer period of time. So it's going to help me be able to push in my workouts a little bit further, and a little bit harder, before I kind of start dying out. And it helps reduce the inflammation as well. So I know I'm not waking up as sore as what I used to, even doing two training sessions a day with strength and conditioning in the morning and then jiu-jitsu at night, or vice versa. Definitely helps with the soreness. Like I said, I still get sore. So it's not like I'm saying I'm taking this and I'm never going to get sore. I definitely still get sore. And there's days that I'm more sore than others. But I know for a fact that it's definitely helping keep it manageable, so I can still push hard during my training sessions that I have during the week. And it's not ever to the point where I'm like, dude, I can't move. I'm not going to the gym today.
Yeah.
So that's, and I mean, I take all the X Endurance products, but the Extreme Endurance by far is the one that I recommend literally to everybody if they ask me what I take.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get all of my jiu-jitsu friends on this thing. That's one of my biggest things, is that I've seen the difference in my training, and, you know, during training sessions as well, I can see the difference between my training partners and myself. And by no means am I saying, oh, dude, I'm shitting all over everybody. Like, they can't touch me. Like, that's not what it is. But a lot of the times, you know, I'll see some of these people on their backs. They're like, God, I'm so tired. I'm like, well, I can still go. Like, yeah, I'm wrecked, right? But I still feel like I can go, which is a good feeling.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
And I want my jiu-jitsu friends, especially the ones that are competitive, to be taking this product too. In the way that I tell them, I'm like, look, if you can fight off a choke for 10 more seconds, or you can apply pressure on a choke for 10 more seconds, or fight for positioning for however much longer, right? Because you don't have that buildup of the lactic acid in your muscles while you're training, like, that can make the difference between winning a competition or losing a competition, getting a choke, getting choked, you know, getting a submission, or you getting tapped out, right? And it's just a matter of inches and it's a matter of seconds. But if you're able to hold the position longer than your opponent, more than likely, you're probably going to win, right? Yep. If you're able to apply pressure on chokes or submissions longer you're probably going to win. It doesn't mean that it's going to be that way indefinitely, 100%, right? But you, I feel you have a better advantage in that sense if you're able to do that.
Yeah, of course. So. Yeah, and so for the people out there that don't know what lactic acid is, like a little background on that, it's like during intense exercise, you know, there may not be enough oxygen available to complete the process. So a substance called lactate is made, right? Your body can convert lactate to energy without the use of oxygen. But when lactate gets broken down or lactic acid can build up in your bloodstream faster than you can burn it off, that's when you feel like you have to put the barbell down or you have to rest.
Mm-hmm. Shake the arms out, kind of do that thing.
Yeah, and so with what we're chatting about, this this extreme endurance supplement, it'll give you that extra push. And that stuff, yes, it might lead to soreness later because you're working really hard and you're breaking your body to that lactic acid threshold. Mm-hmm. But the true soreness that people feel the next day is really inflammation from muscle breakdown. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. That means that you trained hard, you brought your body to a certain peak, and now you need to recover and you got to respect the soreness a little bit. So that's a pretty important point to make, I think. But, you know, touching on extreme endurance, like for me, I remember when I first met Spencer and he was dogging on me for, I was drinking, what did I have? I had probably
something sugary and delicious. It was addicted to sugar.
Yeah. Everybody that knows me knows I'm addicted to sugar. Love my cookies. I think that's been brought up on every single podcast so far.
Hey, then it speaks truth, right?
Yeah. It's consistent. Man, I am consistent. But I remember Spencer was like, why are you drinking that? And I was like, oh, I just need to get that buzz. You know, it was like a stimulant based pre-workout. And he's like, here, drink this Fuel 5 with a little bit of protein. Take that shit away. He actually legitimately took it from me and gave me like... gave me like 2 weeks worth of supplements to try here, just give this a shot and tell me what you think. Give me some feedback. And he also gave me the extreme endurance at the same time. And I was like, oh, he's like, take 3 in the morning, take 3 at night. Don't miss a day. And I was like, all right. So I followed suit. I stuck with it. And man, did it changed the way that I approached, you know, my pre-workout drink and post-workout supplements and intro workout, everything. It really changed me, and it made me feel so much better. I wasn't crapping out in my CrossFit workout super fast because my heart rate would get super elevated fast from stimulants. I felt like when I was doing Fran, my time was improving significantly, especially because I could hold on to the barbell much longer and the bar with my pull-ups. I saw almost like a 45 second increase in time. So I was, you know, I was pretty stoked when I got on board with Spencer and X Endurance, and I haven't looked back ever since. And that's been about 4.5 years for me, 5 years almost. So, you know, I tell people, like, you know, there's great products everywhere, but there's also a lot of really shitty ones. And it's really hard for people to know what the difference is between a crappy product and a good product. They're just taking people's word for it. And one thing I really appreciated about X Endurance is that they put a lot behind themselves by testing their product, clinically testing it. So can you touch on the clinicals that you know about with X Endurance and Extreme Endurance specifically?
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things, just to touch on what you said, is that there are a lot of crappy products out there, and people don't know the difference. Because there's people are really good at marketing, and there's a lot of cool flashy packages out there that look really cool, and a lot of either hot chicks or buff dudes that are like, take this product and you'll be able to look like me or get chicks like her. And it's like, damn, hell yeah, I want to look like him. Hell yeah, I want to get chicks like. And it's almost sad because when you look at the product and you see what that product is, it's dog shit 99% of the time, right? And it just sucks because these people are spending their money on stuff that really is just a waste of money, or they're putting really crappy products into their body.
Yeah.
So it's horrible. So to touch on like the clinical stuff, that was one of the biggest things for me that I was like, oh shit, they have clinical studies. And for people that don't know, clinicals aren't cheap. right? They take, they're pretty expensive to conduct and get done. So for me, seeing that they had clinicals done and that it was proven, and they could say, hey, here are our claims. We claim that it does this. We claim that it does that. And here's the proof. Bam, it's right there. You know, the company, X-Endurance, didn't do the study. It was done by the University of Lafayette. And to me, I was like, okay, cool. So it's just not the supplement company that's like, hey, our product is really good and it does this because we said so. Mm-hmm. You know, they sent the information to this university or the product to the university. And the university said, hey, it does this because we tested it. Cool. Thanks, man. Awesome. And I mean, that's essentially kind of how it was. It's not us saying we are really good because it's someone else saying, hey, you guys are the shit. And this is why you guys are. And anyone that has anything to say about it will just go look at the facts. And not a whole lot of companies can do that. And that was one of the biggest reasons that I decided to go with X-Endurance for myself personally and selling at our gym was because you can trust the products. Clinically proven, they don't blow smoke and mirrors. You know, they have all the facts. It's a research dose as well. So the example that I give everybody is like, okay, let's say, for example, there's going to be a supplement made with vitamin C in it. And the clinically researched dose of vitamin C for everybody in the world, the most effective dose is 100 milligrams, right? I'm just saying that hypothetically. Well, if X-Endurance is going to create a product with vitamin C in it, one, it's going to use the clinically researched dose of 100 milligrams in the product, and it's going to use the highest quality vitamin C around, right? That, I mean, X-Endurance is putting out pharmaceutical grade vitamins. So for me, okay, well, 100 milligrams, that's what is clinically dosed to be the best, and it's the highest quality. It's a no-brainer to go with that. But then there's other companies out there that are like, hey, no, look at us. Look at us. We have vitamin C in our product too, but it's 10 milligrams, yep. Right?
Or 5,000.
Yeah. So I got to take 10 servings of your stuff to get the 100 milligrams of vitamin C that I'm going to get with the X-Endurance product, right? It doesn't make sense. And more than likely, the vitamin C that these other companies are using in those small amounts probably isn't even going to be that good of a level as well, right?
Yeah.
So any company that I feel is going to be putting out that type of information about their products and stand behind their products like X-Endurance does, you know, I'm down for.
Yeah.
Right? So I can really respect a company that's really to put – that's going to stick their neck out like that, you know?
Yeah, I think it's – I think it's – it's very admirable to put the proof is in the pudding, right? With that clinical. And I'm pretty sure that from what they understood, like what they expected, the results were a lot better than they anticipated. And so, you know, for themselves, it was just probably more of a more giant pat on the back that, you know, the response that they got out of the athletes that were tested was just through the roof with reducing oxidative stress and seeing the lactic acid threshold barrier go way up. And so, you know, I think it's pretty great that they're willing to say, here's our stuff, put us to the test. And not a lot of people are willing to do that.
I feel like they're ahead of their time in a sense. Like what you just said, some people aren't willing to do that.
Yep.
And I feel like some people don't even realize what those clinicals are showing. You know, like if you know, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you have no idea and you just look at that, you're like, oh, well, that's cool, I guess. But I think it's only a matter of time before like this information like, really gets out and people really see the benefits of this product because there literally isn't anything else like that out there. Yeah. There's things that claim they do the same, but it's not to the same effectiveness as the Extreme Endurance.
Yeah.
And I feel I almost want to say that's fact, but I don't want to be that guy. But I feel like it's a standalone product.
Yeah, and then just out of, you know, not just for like sports performance, you know, like that was a big benefit there, but it's also just health and wellness in overall. The Extreme Endurance holds a lot of benefit just with that oxidative stress reduction. And so
yeah,
you want to touch on that with like what you chat about with your with people at your gym that might think, well, I'm not an athlete, so I don't need to take this supplement. What would you say in regards to that?
Yeah, so this is the way that I pitch it to everybody. Stress is stress. Mm-hmm. Whether it's physical stress or mental stress, your body's going to perceive it the same exact way. Mm-hmm. So if you have a stressful job, a stressful life, your body's going to be under some form of inflammation. Now, let's say you have a stressful life and work environment, whatever it may be, and you come to the gym and you're working out hard. Well, that's just added stress onto the body. You know, you have to do something to alleviate that stress. The extreme endurance is going to help alleviate that stress. Again, whether it's physical or mental, right? The extreme endurance is going to help with the inflammation within the body. It's going to help fight the free radicals that are produced during stress as well. And if we're talking oxidative stress, well, that's going to help reduce the effects of oxidative stress down to the cellular level. And if people aren't very familiar with oxidative stress, the way that I break it down is this. Let's say that you have an avocado or an apple and you cut it in half and you place it on the counter and you come back an hour later, we'll say, right? Joe, what is it going to look like, the apple or the avocado, when you come back to it?
It's going to look a little browner.
Right? That's an example of oxidative stress. Mm-hmm. Is, holy shit, the apple is brown. Oh my God, my avocado is turning black. Right? Yeah. Like, that's a real good, easy way of someone to go, oh, that doesn't look right. Well, that's what's happening to the cells inside of your body every single day. You can't stop it. You could eat 100% farm to fork organic. You could eat grass fed this and that, pasture raised, like raw this, raw that, whatever. You are under some form of oxidative stress no matter what.
Yeah.
So to take a product that's going to help reduce that and is actually clinically proven to reduce that, not just claims. Again, in my opinion, that product is for everybody. It just so happens that it works extremely well if you're trying to do any type of performance aspects as well, right? Like performance sports or whatever it may be, right? So for the general population, if we just look at the effects of oxidative stress alone, you should be taking it. How many products are out there these days that are like anti-aging this and anti-aging that? Rub this all over your face for anti-aging this. Take this powder because anti-aging that. People are like, oh shit, I'm getting wrinkles in my skin. Maybe I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So taking a product like that, in my opinion, boom, more bang for your buck, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'll put that in the show notes. I'll be sure to put a link in there so people can read a little bit further into some of the products that X Endurance provides. And, you know, in my office, that's what I, when my patients ask me about supplementation, like what kind of joint support should I be taking, or fish oil even, I always have them go in the direction of X Endurance, because one, I'm a huge fan of the product. Two, I take it myself. Three, I know that they're going to be getting the best quality that I can find as of right now. And, you know, it's definitely made a lot of my patients very happy that they've stuck with the X Endurance products. You know, I haven't had anybody say, oh, this isn't helping me, which is awesome.
Huge.
It's a huge attestment
to
it.
That's great.
So, big fan. I appreciate you and Spencer and Jason and everybody and Thor and Sandy for, you know, bringing Active Health Spine and Sport on board and fighting the good fight in the wild west of supplementation.
I know, man. Well, I'm glad that you found something that you can trust fully and that you take yourself. And I think that's huge, is that you're just not giving people products because you make a certain markup on them.
Yeah.
Like, you take them yourself. You trust in them. You see the effects. So that's what you give to your people, you know, and I respect that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So changing pace a little bit. Let's talk about the conjugate system a little bit, because I know that.
Oh man, let's do this.
Yeah,
you're my favorite.
You were my intro to Louis Simmons, pretty much. Like I'd known about Louis. I've seen a lot of videos online. I was familiar with the reverse hyper, and, you know, really infatuated with it and in his teachings and everything. But at the same time, I never really dove deep. And then I went to your gym and trained with you, and you made me do this warm up when we were squatting that day. Remember that with your angle bar?
Yeah, we did box squats to a max with the cambered bar.
Yeah,
And then it was the block banded block pulls.
Yep,
banded like right below the knee.
Yep, and also the banded march. Warm up.
Yeah.
And I mean, you absolutely changed my warm up from that day on, like big time. Yeah, I was like,
that's awesome.
I remember we had 285 on the bar, and my max back squat at that point was, I think, somewhere around 300 or 305. And mm-hmm. I was just blown away that I could hit those numbers and for volume. You know, it's not like we didn't do one rep or two rep. We were doing, I'm pretty sure, like 5 to 7 or 5 to 8 at that time, and just cycling back and forth between you and me. So what got you into conjugate? How'd you find it?
Man, how did I find the conjugate method? That's a great question.
Thank you.
You know what? My wife started the conjugate method first.
Okay.
Right, so we had some buddies in Oregon. Shout out to Scott Lookabaugh, Cody Lookabaugh, right? They had a gym called Eternity Athletics, and they were actually our first, well, Scott was Lauren's powerlifting coach, and then he became my powerlifting coach.
Okay.
And he was all about the conjugate method. So that was our first introduction to that, was essentially Lauren's training. And then after kind of getting familiar with it a little bit more and training it, you know, I dove fully into it. I was like, this is the shit. And it just, for some reason, it made so much sense to me.
Yeah.
Right. Because everybody has, you know, the wizard program, right? But it's more or less, I feel like, okay, I put this on a piece of paper, you go do it, and there it is. For the conjugate system, the basis of it is, well, what do you need to work on? Because you, Joe, and me are going to be two completely different animals. Maybe your hips are really, really weak, and my low back is really, really weak. And when you do max effort lifts, you always fail because your hips just aren't able to maintain the load. Or I fail because my low back isn't able to maintain the load. Mm-hmm. So after we do our main lifts, we're going to go do a bunch of accessory work for different parts of our body to strengthen up our weaknesses.
Yep.
So the conjugate thing is more or less about individuality, I feel, because you need to learn your own body. So it forces you almost to take a step back. It's like, okay, why did I fail this lift? Damn, I think my glutes are weak. It was really, really, really hard for me to lock out this deadlift at the top.
Yep.
Cool. You should probably go and work your glutes. And then next time you do a really heavy deadlift, if you have no issue at the top like you did before, you flew through the lockout, bam. Well, there you go. You found your weakness, and now you made it a strength.
Yeah.
And now something else is probably going to end up being a little weak or whatever, so you have to find that. So the constant kind of like, I don't know, human chess of it, right, is like, all right, well, how can I work this? Like, is this weak? Is that weak? Do I need to find these exercises? Like, my mind just constantly goes all over the place. So like with the conjugate stuff, it fit me well because it constantly had me thinking. It wasn't just like, okay, we're gonna do this today, 21:15:9, we're gonna do that, like how, you know, I was training before.
Yeah.
It was something completely different. So the biggest thing for me was it was always different as well. So this, you know, 3 week wave. So okay, let's break down what the conjugate system is really, right? The conjugate system is going to be a 4 day training system. Okay. You have 2 max effort days for an upper and lower, and then you have 2 dynamic effort days for upper and lower. The max effort days are what you're going to use to train for strength, right? Absolute strength. You're trying to get as strong as possible. The dynamic effort days, those are the days that you're going to use to get fast and explosive. We're going speed strength.
Yep.
Okay. So 2 days a week, you're training to be as strong as physically possible. 2 days a week, you're training to be as fast and explosive as physically possible. And it's always constantly switching. You switch the exercises out every week. What we do at the gym is we have 1 week of a deadlift, whether it's conventional or sumo. And then we have the next week is going to be a squat, whether it's box or free squat. Yeah. And then we'll flip-flop. So if it's a box squat this week, 2 weeks from now, it's going to be a free squat, no box. If it's conventional deadlift this week, 2 weeks from now, it's going to be a sumo deadlift. And I mean, we use the bands and the chains and all that stuff. And I mean, it goes really deep, but it's very surface level too. So you can take it as far as you want and dive into the rabbit hole, or you can just kind of use it for what it is. It's constantly rotating exercises and making sure that you are being as physically strong as you can.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, when I started diving a little deeper into the conjugate system and, you know, preparing for my first Olympic weightlifting meet, I was like, well, I kind of want to hit some PRs. And so I started using a lot of the, what you were just talking about, you know, max effort days split with dynamic effort days, using a lot more banded box squatting. I wish we had chains. I feel like chains really would have helped me a lot. And I found a little link with what you just talked about, what you described with the pull, is that locking it out with that last little bit in the highest portion of my pull through my hips, my glutes really suffered. And so I did a lot of work for 4 weeks leading up to the meet, focusing on my glutes and my thoracic spine positioning along the way. And, you know, I PR'd both my lifts at that competition. Boom. So, you know, I was super stoked. It happened very quickly for me. Probably a little faster than, you know, what I'd anticipate that most people would experience, but just unlocking that little bit of potential, you know, made me a very, very happy person to be able to hit some lifts, to be able to qualify for the AO and, you know, and surprise myself a little bit.
And yeah, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. And also for, you know, when Jess and I went out to Ohio for that wedding in Canton, and, you know, decided to go over to Louie's gym, you know, shot them a message.
So jealous.
Yeah.
So jealous.
Shot them a message, just hoping that we could, you know, get in and just see a little bit of that culture and, you know, and see what it was like. You know, it's like kind of the mecca of weightlifting in that area, at least mm-hmm. that side of the Mississippi. And, yeah, I mean, we were blown away by the numbers on the wall, the, you know, grungy gym, but just so much history inside there.
Oh, it's insane.
Oh, and the machines were amazing, you know, and we got walked around by Joe Lasko, and he, you know, he was really welcoming to us and, you know, let us play with some of the machines and took us through some exercises, and he was like, all right, go ahead, get after it. And I remember, you know, looking at some of the weights, and I'm like, oh man, you know, I personally am not a strong human. I don't categorize myself as that. And he's like, all right, go ahead and hop on that and get after it. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, well, shit, can't say no here.
Could you take some of the weight off for me, please?
Yeah, I was a little.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, I remember the reverse hyper was, I remember I asked, I said, what weight's on there? He's like, that's 415. I was like, oh, damn. And I just go, I was like, my deadlift is 350 right now. He's like, 415 is the starting weight. I was like, awesome.
Like, I think that was, is that the one that the weights were welded on?
Yeah, I believe the weights are welded on to the,
there's one
to the hanging chain.
That has starting 400 pounds. Like, that's the bare minimum entry to that one. Yeah, there's one that's, yep.
And I was yeah, here we go. Oh my goodness, dude. But after a long drive, I felt amazing after that.
Oh,
it was great. It was perfect for us.
And I use the reverse hyper all the time, dude. It's probably one of the best machines. I tell everyone that's the best piece of machinery that we have at our gym.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's the best.
Well, that and we got to play on his. I think it's the. Is it the MR19 or something like that?
That was that new machine.
Yeah, his new
that
one
came out. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to play on that a week before they launched that, and holy crap. What a device. It's a very, very smart design. I see a lot of I think you're going to see that really taking over a lot of strength and conditioning facilities that really have a lot of like sprinters and a lot mm-hmm. of and a lot of soccer players because of groin strains. I've really seen massive benefit in that area for rehab, strength and conditioning, and just taking it to the next level. Just like the reverse hyper, except the complete opposite motion. You know?
Yeah, like what you can respect. Like what I respect about Louis is that he sees an issue, or him and his team, you know, they see an issue, like a common thing, mm-hmm. and then they create something to battle that issue. Literally, they're like, "We need this," and they make something that's just completely revolutionary.
Yeah.
The reverse hyper, you know, people haven't used it. I don't want to say, "Oh, I feel sorry for you," but it's like find a place that has one and go learn how to use it. I mean, your spine is, you know, fuck, you're a chiropractor, you know, right? Oh, yeah. Your spine is extremely important, right? So if you can use a piece of machinery that will literally help traction out your spine and make your spine healthier, like to me, that just makes sense.
Oh yeah.
You should be doing that, right?
Yeah.
And Louis broke his back twice and came up with that machine because of that reason. And, you know, I'm not going to say it fixed his back, right? Because, well, it broke, but
yeah.
He's able to, you know, not walk or he's able to walk. He's able to still lift. He's still able to do things that, like, I would say someone, not a normal human being, would be completely donezo from.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, that was a really amazing invention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Revolutionized. Yeah. It's going to revolutionize the, you know, rehab and strength and conditioning. I think it's continuing. You see it a lot more often these days, which mm-hmm. is really great.
Yeah, way more.
And, you know, I'm trying to get the gym here to purchase one and put one inside because I think that I would benefit personally for rehab purposes to get people back. I would love to be able to do that, but right now we create a sensation that is very similar, but it's just not the same. You know, you can't replace it.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. very unique with the way it works. I appreciate you in introducing us to that. And, you know, Jess really got motivated when we went out there, and, you know, she loves the West Side system. She's been diving deep into the books. We got a couple books that she's, you know, really reading very regularly and, you know, altering some of her training here and there. And, you know, just seeing the results for her is phenomenal too.
Oh, she's crushing it, man.
Yeah,
I love seeing all her videos. She's definitely crushing it.
Yeah, I think she's trying to catch Lauren.
Oh, man,
I'm just kidding. I don't think she ever will.
Hard one.
Yeah, Lauren.
A hard one.
Yeah, Lauren. Yeah. Lauren's a freak when it comes to strength. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that really interests me in like the West Side method or the conjugate method is just that it's not set in stone how mm-hmm. like a lot of these other methods are.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a linear progression. It's not, you know, 5-3-1. It is what it is because it legit works. There's mathematics behind it, right? And I think some people may not even be able, I don't want to say not be able to comprehend that, right? But I think some people are so set in the, well, everyone else is doing 5x5s and everyone else is doing 5-3-1. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is doing linear progression. Like that's the only way. That's the only way. That's the only way. The way my brain works is why the fuck is that the only way?
Yeah.
There's no way that that is the only way, right? And then now finding, you know, a conjugate method and it's like, hey, look, man, we're going to show you the way. But you need to go find it.
Yeah,
and that was the most intriguing part was because it was like, okay, well, you have the basis of it, right? Like you have to, if we broke down programming for a day right now, right? It would be, okay, you have your max effort lift, right? Conventional deadlift.
Yep.
Cool. Then now that's only a small part of your training because the rest of your workout is going to be all accessory movements targeted at your specific weaknesses,
yep.
right? So we do the conventional deadlift and let's say like for you, you were like, I just couldn't lock it out at the top. Fuck my glutes. Cool. Well, guess what you're going to do for your accessory movements, right? You're going to pick 3 to 5 movements that are going to target your glutes and your hamstrings, your posterior chain and your abs. Okay.
Yep.
Smash those.
Yeah.
But your movements are going to be different than my movements. Right?
Yep.
But you're going to go ahead and work on your glutes and you're going to come up with some exercises that work for you. But you need to try a bunch of different exercises out. you know, a good morning may work great for you, may not work good for me, but an RDL may work phenomenal for me and not work for you to bring up some weaknesses.
Yeah.
But the only way to find that out is going out there and trying it. Sure. So like constantly doing different stuff. And then when you feel good with an exercise, it's like, all right, cool. Throw some chains on it now. Throw some bands on it now. And it's a completely different monster. That same exercise is a completely different exercise. And now you have all of these different ways and all of these different tools to constantly make exercises feel different so that your body is always like, okay, that was new and that was weird. Well, okay, I need to get myself ready for that.
Yeah.
And then you do something completely new. The next time your body's like, what the hell is going on? Okay. So you're constantly like having to try to adapt, but to never adapt because you're always doing different stuff. So for me, I was like, okay, well, I'm probably, you know, you're never really going to hit plateaus. And if you do hit a plateau doing the conjugate system, I feel that it's not the training. It's going to be the trainee.
Yeah.
So maybe you're not eating right, right? Maybe your recovery isn't where it should be. Maybe you aren't pushing hard enough in your training, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think the point of the conjugate system is that it keeps you extremely honest because it literally has been proven time and time again through mathematics and science with this that it's going to help you get stronger and it's going to help you get faster. And this is exactly why. So if you're not getting better, it's not the program, it's you.
Yeah.
So it kind of puts that back onto you. And I like that because it's a lot easier for people to blame other people for things and not take the responsibility. So if I'm not getting stronger, I'm not getting faster, like that's on me ultimately. So
yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I think that the conjugate system does a great job allowing the person that is implementing the method to be more of a critical thinker.
Yes.
And so, you know, and I like that from just a practitioner standpoint, that is that someone can be a little creative with it, and it's not here is X, Y, and Z, this is where their holes are, you're going to need to do A, B, and C, and D, you know, but if D goes wrong, you need to do E. And so it becomes more of, you have to have a pretty good eye, the person has to have good sensation and feel for exercise, and you know, it works incredibly well for virtually everybody, but you know, I especially see a big difference in people that are very in tune with their body when they exercise. And so, you know, with like my fighters, they appreciate the banded work. They appreciate that stuff. They see, okay, we're going to hit some back squats today. Okay, cool. Now we're going to take numbers off of that and we're going to work on this hole because you have a tough time, you know, with your quads. So we're really going to hammer your quads right now and we'll take it that way. And high volume, you know, really high volume core.
Oh yeah.
And you know, you just feel better when you do that style of training. It's hard. It's very, yeah, very hard. It's not easy. But as far as like the way your body operates later, it feels great. So I appreciate the system.
And it feels good when you see improvements.
Yep.
Right? Like for you, when you just mentioned the part about your glutes in your competition, you PR'd your lifts, you probably felt like you were on top of the world.
Definitely.
But you earned that and you deserve those because you put in the work on those weaknesses. And like you said, I know it wasn't easy for you because I talked to you during it. I saw your training. It was hard freaking work, right?
Yeah.
But what happens? You got up on the platform, you hit your PRs, now you qualify for the AO, but it all gets broken down to you found out what your weaknesses are and you fucking hammered them out, and now look at what happened.
Yeah, it was good times. All right, Joey, here's a deep question. What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, that's a good one, man. That's a good one. Let me take a second to think of that one.
It's hard. I had to answer it for my friend Dan, and it really caught me off guard. I figured, you know, you're a good friend, and I know that we're going to have a lot of conversations for pretty much the rest of our lives, you know, and I was curious. I'm like, This would be a good question to ask a good friend.
You know what, man? I would want to be remembered as someone who gave a damn. You know, like, I devoted my life to coaching people. Mm-hmm. And I put so much of my emotion into it. Like, I become so emotionally invested into the people that I coach that I just want them to feel as if, like, someone actually gave a damn about me. You know, like, I care so much about the improvement of my people and them moving better in their bodies, having better lives outside of the gym, that sometimes I feel like some people don't, like, see that, you know?
Yeah.
Or know how much that you care. So, and I know there's a lot of bad coaches out there, and this isn't for me to say anything that I'm better than anybody, because that's not the reason, but I just want people to think or to feel like when they look back at training with me or as a friend or anybody that, like, he actually gave a damn.
I feel that way.
That would pretty much be where I'd put it.
Yeah, I feel that way. I mean, you check in on me quite a bit and, you know, check in on my business, how things are doing, always asking if I need any help or any ideas. And, you know, I definitely feel that you give a damn, that's for sure. And it's pretty cool that, you know, it's been awesome getting to know you and seeing you, you know, have success come your way and making a difference out there in California and beyond.
Well, the feeling's mutual, man. The feeling's mutual. I've seen your practice grow, and I mean, dude, you took one of the biggest leaps that you could ever do. You dove right off of the cliff. Now look at you. You got your own spot. You know, you're out in Arizona doing your thing, growing it. And dude, I'm happy for you.
I appreciate that.
I'm definitely happy. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Big step. It's hard for a lot of people to do that, you know.
Yeah, it's a little stressful. That's a good thing. I take extreme endurance to fight that stress, though.
Good thing.
All right, man. Well, why don't you plug yourself so some people can get to know you a little bit deeper on the Instagrams or wherever else they can follow you.
Yeah. So once I tell you my full name, so I don't think we said it. Do we say my last name?
We haven't said it yet.
Yeah. So Joey Hoey, that is my last name. It rhymes 100%. You'll never forget my name. But Instagram would be JHOTSC. JHOETSC. For the gym, you can go at the Fitness Coalition and on Instagram. And if you want to find me on Facebook, just type in Joey Hoey and type in the Fitness Coalition for Facebook. So we post pretty consistently. We try to get as much material out as we can. And yeah, you know, that's pretty much it. Like I said, I'm really bad at talking about myself. I should probably learn to get better at, like, talking, right?
It's really hard about myself. Yeah, it's really hard. It's a legit skill.
It's like, tell me everything about yourself. My name's Joey, and I don't know, I like lift weights and stuff. Like, that's kind of where.
And I like to party.
Man.
Awesome,
yeah,
dude.
So yeah, you can find me on the good old Instagrams and Facebook, man. Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your beautiful Sunday. We appreciate it. I'm sure we'll have more conversations in the future for the podcast and some different topics to bring up.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I'd love that. Definitely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Cool. It's been a minute since we put a podcast out, but welcome back. We've got some updates for you. So since I last put an episode out, there's been some changes that have happened, all for the positive. I partnered with two awesome strength and conditioning coaches by the names of Mike Santini and Seth Barnett. We opened a facility called Legendary Athletics here in Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, Active Health and Legendary, we've known each other for about 2 years now, and we're really in line with what we want to see in the strength and conditioning world and healthcare as well. And we decided to open a beautiful state-of-the-art facility. Check out the Instagram. You'll be able to see some awesome photos. We're really proud of what we built here and what we continue to see as far as progress goes with the athletics of the kids and young men that we're working with here, and women. So anyhow, we're bringing some podcasts to you guys. So I'm going to be having Mike and Seth on here
quite a bit. You might notice a name change in the future from Coop Encounters to the Legendary Podcast. Just a little bit of rebranding of the name, but content's going to be the same, if not coming from a little bit of a different lens as well, from Mike and Seth's background. So they'll be very routine. It'll be the three of us, and we'll be bringing some people on to have a great conversation moving forward. We also are doing video casts with this. So if you're more interested in seeing the facility, watching the talking, those kind of things, I'll put a YouTube link in the show notes here. I'll also put Seth and Mike's Instagram handles in the links here so you can check out what they're all about. It's going to be Legendary Athletics AZ and KC Grips with a Z. I think you're really going to enjoy what these guys have to say. I'm incredibly grateful for these guys. They've really taken my business to a new level, and I feel like I've done the same for them. And we're just, you know, at the beginning stages of what we expect to be a really wonderful, powerful thing in the strength and conditioning world and healthcare in general. So without further ado, here's our episode one as Legendary Athletics Podcast.